And we're back for just, I don't even know what this was. This issue is insane.
Issue 37 is insane. It's very insane.
It's so weird.
This one made me think, I was wondering to myself, is the Dazzler series going through like a existential crisis phase, or a phase where like the writers are afraid that what happened to the character in the 70s is going to happen again, where like she'll become super irrelevant, or like Disco will become super irrelevant. So it's like, let's throw in all the 80s tropes right now while they're still hot, because they might not be in style when we're thinking about doing this story again later.
I don't know what they were thinking. I have no answers for that. It feels like, okay, I will say there are 5 issues of Dazzler after this. There's more we're going to cover, but 5 issues of the series titled Dazzler. And it makes me wonder, because they had Archie Goodwin signed up to write it, and Archie Goodwin is like a comics legend, and at this point is a known Marvel entity. And they're going through new writers per issue, and I'm just wondering if they're just like throwing issues at random people until Archie Goodwin's schedule clears and he can wrap this thing up.
Well, I mean, one of the reasons why I say all that too is because this one, like right away, it throws in 2 really hot mid-80s items both at once, where it's video games, VR video games, and samurai, or
oh yeah,
Asian style swords.
Just that weird 80s obsession with like faux Asian Japanese.
Yeah.
The complete misunderstanding.
Yeah, it feels a lot like that. Because I mean, like the last one, it was like the roller derby craze.
Yep.
But I mean, the roller derby craze was still good in the 70s. But it felt like this one in particular, it's like, all right, we got to throw these fads in now while they're still popular with the kids, because they might go the way of Disco.
Have you seen the Lonely Islands, like Legend of the Bash Brothers, I think it was called?
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the silk robes and kimonos, where like that was, that's just what was cool.
Yeah. I definitely see that. But hey, you're listening to the Almost an X-Man podcast.
Welcome back.
That was a lengthy open.
Welcome back and buckle up.
I'm RJ, or maybe I'm Don Draper, as I sip my colorful drink. It really doesn't matter. This is about our friend Dazzler.
That does look delicious. And I'm Matt, and we are here to discuss issue 37, The Girl in the Machine.
Like Ghost in the Shell.
Look at that.
Already.
Here we have new writer and single one-time guest writer, Bob Denatal? Denatal? I don't know how it's pronounced.
Yeah, probably didn't tell.
No disrespect, Bob. Then we have pencils by Tom Morgan, inks by Danny Bulandani, colors by returning colorist Petra Scatesi, and letters by L. Lois Buholis. I don't know, other than Petra Scatesi, who's I only know because she's done many, many issues of Dazzler at this point, I don't know any of these people.
I'm sure you're all fine at your craft, though.
I've read a lot of comics.
By this,
I've read a lot of comics, and this is just a lot of names that I've never heard before.
I feel like there's a lot in all the sample size that I've read, where there's not a whole lot of, like, they do have, when you're going through like one of those main series, you do see some rotating names, or maybe sure. I'm just like not remembering the names.
It's not very rotating. Well, like, I'm not saying they need to be on Dazzler for a long time, but a lot of times they're names that I know from other places, too. Like,
but I mean, think about how many kinds of books there are out there, and even as many as there are that you haven't read in, like,
it's true.
DC
it's true.
Or Image or, like, some independent line.
That's incredibly true. If it's not a Marvel comic, if they had spent most of their career at DC, I don't know it.
That's one of the things that tickles me, is like every now and then I'll read something that's like Vertigo, and I'll read something that's Marvel, and it's like, that name looks familiar.
Yeah.
And it I read them in something in Marvel, and you know, they went over and told this story in this other company. So it's kind of fun to notice little things like that.
It is. But anyway, let's start with the girl in the machine because we are off to the races.
Look at these dogs. These
Panel
dogs.
one, Dazzler is in the middle of the woods and a dog is chasing her.
When I first saw it, I was like, is it that dog that Spider-Woman choked out? Is
I
it after her
wish.
for revenge? But no, not quite that silly. No.
It's coming straight on. I gotta say, it is a difficult angle to draw, and it looks like it has four legs in a straight line.
Yeah, it didn't. I wasn't even quite sure what it was at first, but then I was like, oh, okay, that looks kind of like the dog that we saw earlier, the greyhounds that were attacking them in that underground facility.
It
So maybe
does.
they just had like a really, similar prototype for like guard dogs back in these days.
I don't even know what city they're in at this point.
Yeah, it's they don't tell us, but I mean, I assume it's maybe in the Northeast because it's rainy, and that's not very Los Angeles.
No, I mean, they might still be in LA, but she's in the middle of a forest. I don't know what's going on, but Allie's in the middle of a forest. A dog is coming at her, and she's just thinking maybe coming here wasn't such a bright idea after all. Coming where? This is such a weird way to start this comic.
This was another one that felt kind of like, wait, did I miss a page? But it's like, no, right next to it in the little collection I have,
Yeah.
the page, the comp, the cover is like right there on the
Yeah.
other page. So it's like, no, I didn't miss anything.
No. It just starts. It just goes, and we're in the woods. It's raining real hard. The rain seems to be really coating her with snow, which is confusing. And there's a dog charging at her. We go to the next panel and oh, it's actually two dogs.
Yeah, there's another doggy. So maybe you weren't seeing, four legs in a straight line. Maybe there were eight in a straight
Maybe.
line, just one right behind the other one. Yeah, who knows?
And then she thinks, I mean, this is what I'm missing Dynasty for.
That's aged.
And I gotta say though, Allie didn't watch
She
Dynasty. That
doesn't
wasn't her
seem
jam.
very Dynasty. Isn't Dynasty like the oil tycoons in Texas, or am I thinking of something else?
That is,
Maybe is that
no,
Dallas who
that's
shot JR?
Dallas.
Okay. Yeah. So Dynasty
Dynasty is the other
was.
one about rich people that slapped each other a lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That is not her.
No, that's
Okay.
very much not her.
Maybe
And
she's
they
actually
were just
making a
thrown in 80. They were just like, hey, it's the 80s.
Yeah, I like to think that she actually just told a joke to herself that went over my head. Because it'd be like, oh, okay, I kind of respect that, Allison.
Yeah.
Like how she's always going, oh boy, yeah. I sure have, choked the chicken on this one or knocked over the bookshelf, but they usually don't hit.
No, never. I do appreciate that it's actually thought bubbles and she's not just saying all this out loud, which is
Yeah.
rare for this series.
Yeah, not screaming out to no one. The dogs don't get too close though
No.
before someone calls them off.
Well, she charges up and then, yeah, this guy pops up on a hill behind her out of nowhere. Like this, she's in the middle of a forest.
I love these dog names though. Gawain and Percival.
The round table dogs.
Yes.
Makes me wonder where Lancelot is being held. Yeah, we get Gawain, Percival, back off. And here's the weird part. The dogs do back off. They go to this guy who called them. They don't come back. They're gone. They're done. This is not like a show the gun in act one sort of thing. So it's there for act three when you need it. The dogs are just done now. This is just bad storytelling.
The first page for nothing because you still don't know where Allison is.
Nope.
You just know that she's in the woods, wet, and being chased by two doggies.
Hair's still immaculate, though.
Oh,
It's
come on.
so bizarre.
It's
And then
impressive.
this guy apparently just hops down from the hill, says his name's Peter Hostler, and asks who she is. And she says that she's come to see Diana Simon. Peter informs her that Diana died 6 months ago. And Allie's very confused. And they turn around a tree, and they're actually at a giant estate?
Yeah, the framing that makes the framing of the first page even more confusing.
It's
Because
so weird.
it's like where it seems like you wouldn't have dogs attacking people just walking down your driveway, and that's clearly where they are. So what's up with all this? Who's this? who's this random broad? Can't even remember her name anymore.
Diana Simon.
Yeah, and who sent the letter? Oh, well, it's getting creepy. Anna's really dead. Who called her? What if she's not? Yeah, the wheels are turning. Suspense, intrigue.
And I gotta say, like, I get that this is how storytelling works, where it's like, they didn't have the page space to show the call that brought Allison there. But in this particular case and the way it's done, it really feels like the reader is missing something.
They had room to have a page lead in. You didn't need the dogs.
You don't think this story was so jam-packed they couldn't have squeezed that in somewhere?
You really didn't need the dog scene. But anywho, she goes inside to see Diana's father.
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah. Exactly. You want to know what he looks like? You don't want to read the issue? Look at a picture of Wilford Brimley.
It's Wilford Brimley.
That's Diane's father.
And he's standing next to two guys in suits that are clearly Cyclops and Havoc, which is confusing. But they're not, but they are, but they're not.
Yeah, they were in the middle of a pool game or billiards, depending on where you're from.
Maybe snooker.
Yeah.
And who knows?
He notices Allison. Of course, it's her daughter's best friend. Mr. Simon, she says, she's sorry to hear about Diana. If she knew, she wouldn't have barged in like that. They talk. There's a little, you know, back and forth.
He offers to get her some clothes so that she's not so wet and says, you're probably Diana's size, so let's go to her old bedroom. Mm-hmm. As soon as the door shuts, this is insane. Well, keep in mind, we're at page three. We're on page three of this comic. So as soon as the door is shut, he grabs her by the arms and starts screaming at her. You shouldn't be here. Those men are there, dangerous, and they're conducting dangerous business. You might get hurt. I don't know what brought you here tonight, but you must leave as fast as you can.
This has to be like maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 days after she's been had another man, in this case, just a complete stranger, the tatterdemalion, screaming all kinds of like, you shouldn't be here stuff. Allison's noticing a trend at this point. She has to be noticing a trend at this
point. But she's not, which is insane also. And it's just so weird. And she's very calm. She's very calm. She's like, hey, Mr. Simon, what's happening? Does this have anything to do with Diana?
I hope this whole scene played out kind of like a middle school play where she's asking, you know, what's going on very seriously. And Diana's father turns away. Cannot. Throws his arm over his head like a dandy. Stretches out face toward the heavens. And just kind of like stumbles out of the room real dramatically. Because
Allison,
the way Allison ends that scene is, okay.
Allison, seeing you again brings back good, happy memories. Your friendship with Diana existed during simpler times than these. Please don't ask me to ruin those memories for all of us. Please. Okay.
And, love it. Love it.
And he's gone.
Super dramatic. This one, it's got twists and turns everywhere. You got,
yep. Yep.
You got the harrowing opening with the dogs. You got the revelation of why she's even there in the first place, and the shocking revelation of why she shouldn't be there, or how it's impossible for her to received a message from the person who sent it, and then going inside to see her friend's father swing manically from warm and welcoming to startling and disturbed. It's all over the map.
And he goes back out to the pool game, but it says later. So I don't know how long he took getting back out to the pool game.
Yeah, Allison took a nice nap, a little siesta.
But we're later now.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who's not Cyclops with the brown hair and the red sunglasses, don't give a guy red sunglasses if he's not Cyclops.
Well,
just don't.
I mean, it makes it worse that he's got dark hair also.
Yeah.
And he looks fit. He's slim, hence the nickname. He has all the trademarks that you would expect when you see Scott Summers.
Exactly. It's weird that it's just a lot of weird artistic choices.
Mm-hmm.
He tells Mr. Simon it's his choice, not his choice, sorry, it's his turn. And we learn that the guys are named Donald and Peter and Abrams. Okay. Those are the three guys. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I don't know that. Do you remember if they reveal why they were shaking Diana's dad down?
No, they don't. And this issue is very confusing.
Okay. I was hoping I wasn't like too drunk. Because I was like, all right, maybe I'm forgetting it. Maybe,
no.
I don't want to feel stupid, but I'll just ask anyway.
No.
Did I miss it?
There's a lot that makes little to no sense.
Did I miss it, or did it just flat out go unsaid? Oh, the sense of relief that has washed over me right now is palpable.
It feels like, I mean, they kind of, no, they don't. It feels like they had like a 6-issue arc for this plan and jammed it all into one issue that just flies from scene to scene rapidly.
Because gotta say, I was very confused because this one moves along fast and I was like, all right, yeah, maybe I missed it. Because there's, well, in the process of like talking about something that he owes or something like that, like he's trying to get out of the business that they're in and they won't let him. They're kind of like a little, what's the word? Menacing in their approach.
Yep.
And he kind of lets them know, well, you guys are young and strong. I may be getting old and a little patchy, but I can assure you I'm not some pushover. I'm not past my prime. And he hits a ghost shot on the billiard table that knocks three balls in without moving the cue ball, which is impressive.
It proves that he is the best telekinetic pool player who's ever lived.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Allison goes snooping.
Yeah, she's found a pink jumpsuit and is on the move. She finds a door that she opens, and the whole room is technology.
Yeah, and super, in the middle, super 80s techno punk, I guess.
Yeah, and the middle is a big dome. I've got a lot of questions about this. And then
it's like Mysterio's. Yeah,
Mysterio, it looks like it looks like, yeah, a giant Mysterio helmet.
Yeah,
and then Peter's in the doorway. The guy who found her in the woods.
I gotta say, I don't know if your version is the same as mine or if it's updated at all, but when I was first reading this, it looks kind of like Peter's flies open when he's standing at the door.
Yeah, it does. The lighting, the color is really odd.
Yeah, and that gave me a good chuckle.
I think we're reading the same the Masterworks volume.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's leaning against the door, which is confusing because he was at the pool game in the last page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wasn't the target of the conversation, but he was there.
Yeah, he was at the very start of it.
Yeah, and now he's just leaning against the door, fully admitting that he was following Allison as she was snooping around. But he's not angry. He just says, I'll show you what this technology is. And she sits down in a tech chair and aims what looks like a giant laser turret.
It's a funky looking thing. They sit down. He's like, hey, it's a video game. Sit down. I'll set it up.
It looks like a Death Star turret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like out in the open, though. Like if they were just sit one in a big empty room. It's like if Allison's dad decided, I want to change up my big study a bit. And he got rid of his chair. And he just put in like
a single chair
and a turret. That's what this room looks like to me.
It's definitely, though, like a video game as written and drawn by somebody who's never played a video game, even in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And then, yeah, so he goes to the other side of the dome and sits at his big laser turret. And then two holograms turn on and they're giant robot samurais.
Yeah, there's like these platforms shoot up from the floor, start projecting samurai, and then they can, you know, start fighting.
If you're not following along and you're listening, by the way, because I think this sounds nuts, it's just nuts. I don't really know what to tell you. Like, this is just bananas.
Yeah, we're not making this up. This one goes, and you don't know why or where or how it just starts happening. It's
not
an issue
even
that happens.
Yeah, it's not even that we're not making it up. We're also not skipping anything either.
Yeah, this is pretty much verbatim of what happens. They power up. The samurai start fighting. There's a little banter. The guy tells Allison, "Wow, you're doing pretty good." And Allison's like, "But wait, I'm not controlling anything.
I haven't touched my controller in 2 minutes."
Yeah.
And then his controller starts exploding as Ali Samurai stabs his samurai through the chest.
Yeah, at first when I was looking at this, I was like, ooh, is he going to get tech mastered? But no, not quite.
No, no.
Peter, look out. Peter, are you okay? And like, apparently this is the worst version or dumbest version or best version of a video game or portrayal of a video game that I've ever seen. You make things that are capable of exploding and doing damage in real life.
It's love
like,
it.
Is this not just like some military tool? Shouldn't this be a military tool? Should this just be in the home for people to play with? This
Love it.
Right. This seems weird for even for the Marvel universe.
No notes. I also just want to call out, we're on page 7.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is an ordeal.
This one is insane.
Yeah.
So Allie says that they need to tell Mr. Simon, and he says, I'm going to investigate this exploding video game controller first. And he's gone now, just investigating that, I guess. And so Allie starts going back to try to find Mr. Simon, but the door's locked. But then another door opens all on its own, and she goes in, and she sees, oh no, it's Diana, even though she's supposed to be dead.
Sitting in this chair, apparently it looks like, actually not just sitting, strapped to this big metal techno-looking chair with rods and things sticking out of it or sticking into her. At least one of them is sticking into her, it looks like.
With a headband that's got some like nodes on it.
Yeah, wires running to the nodes. She's wearing like a weird, it almost looks like Magneto's suit, but purple, where
a
it
little
should
bit,
be red.
yeah.
And white, where it should be purple.
Yeah, a little bit. And she's hyped. Just, Allie, nice of you to come visit.
Yeah, it's talking out of this speaker, so it's like an electric voice. Straight up, was it an original episode of Star Trek where there was the witness who was sitting in the chair? I don't know.
I don't know.
Back even for me.
That I don't know.
But it's like that Futurama episode that was talking about the Star Trek episode where they had the trial and they had to sit
Yes.
into the thing, the
It
chair.
is like that.
Yeah.
So you're probably right. It was probably a Star Trek episode.
Diana begins to tell her sad, sad story.
It's so weird.
It still doesn't really explain anything. Like,
no!
Her dad gets mixed up with a revenge ink. Not sure why.
Well, like, her mom died of cancer, which very uplifting for this children's comic book in the 80s.
So that was something that I did forget because of everything else that happened. Because if you have like a whole bunch of crazy that happens, you're not going to remember so many important details.
Yeah. Yeah. So Diana's mom died of cancer and her dad was in a bad spot. This is her dad pre-mustache, I guess, which is fantastic. I love that the passage of time, he grew a mustache.
And is this pre-Grand Estate? Because this is a pretty destitute looking image.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the cancer drained all of their savings. And when she finally died, dad's will seemed to dry up as well. But then a guy comes to them from Revenge Inc., which we've seen before. I think they were the company that was stealing models from Millie. They were helping out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the card when the card dropped and Allison thought it was Chilly Storms.
Yeah. And it really feels like this Revenge Inc. plot was something they were going to tie in. No, does not come up again. This is the end of Revenge Inc., and I don't know what they're doing here.
We only see the guy who looks like Scott Summers holding the card out. So, like, maybe he's like the founder and chairman of Revenge Inc. Maybe Revenge Inc. was just like a startup, and this was as far as the startup got.
Maybe.
Because the
I
end
don't.
happens. But we'll get
That's
to
fair.
that.
That is fair. So then they found Diana and her dad, I guess. I don't know how or why. And offered them a lot of money in exchange for... They offered them money and prestige in exchange for helping them with certain experiments.
Yeah, I think the experiments it's said wound up being part of that arcade or that computer.
The samurai game.
Yeah, because they're like, hey, we wanted you to. They use her as a guinea pig for their mental machine that connects
I
people to
guess, yeah.
computers.
Yeah, they create a mental link between me and their computers, but like unknowingly, she began acts of corporate sabotage for them. And
Yes, unknowingly.
I don't understand.
Unknowingly,
When your brain is hooked up to a computer, and then the computer just starts doing corporate sabotage?
they told her to go to Chase Manhattan and look at a bunch of account statements and then come back and tell them what the numbers were. But it was totally above board.
This is a tenuous grasp on technology, even for comic books. This is, it's really bizarre.
It's out there. It's dumb, but it's out
Is
there.
so dumb.
Yeah.
So I guess she obtained information, altered programs, all at a safe distance in Revenge Inc. headquarters. Sure. And as time went on, she began to lose her autonomy to the machines. Which, again, is so confusing. I don't. Does that imply the machines are alive and taking her in?
So it wasn't only that. She's losing it, so she runs away. But
But she
then
also
she
discovers she
can't.
can't live without being hooked into the machines.
Yeah, was somebody going through something at the office during this time? It's like, hey, the old lady back home, or it's giving me a hard time because I spend too much time doing this, but like, I just can't live without it. So, we had to come to some kind of agreement. So, what does she do? She fakes her death.
By pushing her car off a cliff.
The old tried and true method.
Sure. Okay. And I guess by now her father had risen to a high rank in the company, which this is the first time they've even mentioned that he's involved in this company.
Yeah, this is a strange story.
And his recovery from mom's death had been nearly miraculous. I mean, that's just a recovery of morale. He wasn't ill or anything.
Yeah. Did he have the same thing that Carter did? The sadness that renders you just
But
mind dead?
like he was sad, but money and prestige snapped him out of it. Like, well, my wife's still dead, but I'm rich now, so I guess I'm fine.
There's a lot to unpack there. But like in the way that there's a really, 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 really big suitcase, and you have to walk a while to pull the zipper across one side. By the time you get suitcase open and you're able to flip it open, there's nothing inside. So it's like a big empty piece of luggage.
I have no idea what's going on, but now she's gonna have her revenge on Revenge Inc. Today's the day. Her dad and her have been plotting, I guess.
But this is the best part.
I'm so confused about all of this.
Oh, you're confused now. What about when she tells Allison? But now that I've told you all this, I can't let you leave.
Oh,
I will
yeah.
kill you.
Yeah, she says that she's gonna kill everybody who's all the revenging people in the house. And she just needed a girlfriend to gab about it with, but also there can be no witnesses, so now she's gonna kill Allie too. It's so weird.
This is f dumb. This is f
It's
dumb, and I
so
love it.
insane.
The idea of, oh, I'm so glad you came. Let me tell you all this stuff. Now I'm gonna kill him.
Now
But
it's
yeah, I can't.
time to die.
But I can't let you live. It's like, well, why would you? I thought we were friends. Maybe that's the reason I think it's so stupid.
Did you
It's
not
like,
hear her say no witnesses?
yeah, it's like, why are you? I feel like Allison should be more angry than scared at this point,
I don't even know if
because
she's scared. I think she's really confused. Just what?
well, even more than that, I feel like she should be pissed off. This is your childhood friend. Called me out here to have a nice conversation and then kill me?
I gotta say too, on Diana's side of things here. Not that I'm standing up for Diana, but just how stupid this is. Allie is a public mutant with powers that have been displayed, and you clearly know about them. You don't have any other friends you can gab about this with who don't have superpowers? There's no one else you can call who's not going to fire a laser blast at you when you tell them point blank you're about to murder them?
Maybe that's also why it's making me angry, because it's dumb in so many ways, and it's so dumb that I care about how dumb all those things are. I think that's also what's getting on my nerves. Wait a second. You're trying to lead me to believe all these things are the same, and
it's so dumb. With that, I think we got to take a short break, and we will be right back. Here we go.
We're back. Her friend tells her she's going to kill her, and Dazzler says, oh, no, you don't, and starts zapping stuff and books it down the hallway.
I've got so many questions. They'll come up later. It matters. But Allie sees a camera outside the door and blasts it, too, because that's how Diana's been watching her. I don't know how you didn't notice all the cameras around the house, I guess, but okay, whatever.
It's the 80s. These are big old CCTV.
I should say they're not like little pin cameras. These are big security cameras.
They load VHS tapes in these.
I don't know how you didn't notice this, but anyway, we cut back to the fireplace drawing room meanwhile, where Mr. Simon is chatting with, I guess Peter's back here now. Peter's everywhere. Peter's everywhere you want to be. But he's back here sitting on a chair while Mr. Simon is talking next to the fireplace and his framed picture of himself, which is my favorite piece of furniture that he owns. I just love the idea, like, I have accrued wealth. What should I do? I'm going to sit for a portrait.
Yeah.
Just of me, not of my family or my beloved wife and daughter. It's a just me.
Tasteful one, chest up. Nice profile image.
Solid Windsor knot.
The calm doesn't last, or the tense calm doesn't last long, because it comes full-blown panic when, I can't remember the guy's name, but it doesn't matter, barges into the room, yells,
the blonde
Peter.
One?
Yep.
Oh, no.
The dark-haired. Yeah, dark-haired one yells, Peter, Donald, we've got to get out of here. It's Diana. She. And he falls over in a hump, face first. Glasses break as he hits the ground.
Abrams, are you all right? I guess his name is Abrams.
Mm-hmm. They're throwing him over to look at his back, and there's a smoking hole. It's not until after he sees that Peter says, he's dead.
Who? What could have done this? Peter's face shape changes a lot throughout this issue.
Yeah. I don't think what could have done this is a very good question. The who, sure. Sure, but he did just tell them Diana with his last breath, so I think you could go with Diana there, buddy.
Probably Diana. He shouted Diana about four times as he barged into the room, and then there's just a smoking hole in his back.
Right?
I don't know. Maybe he was trying to tell you something with his last words. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's dead now.
Things only escalate.
Which, sure, I guess this was Diana's plan and she explained it to Allie, but fine. Peter looks at Mr. Simon and, what did Abrams mean about Diana? Spill it. And reveals he's been in cahoots the whole time. This was always his plan. Oh, yes, my friend, she's very much alive. And she is about to kill each and every rotten one of you. Rotten, thieving. Ugh! And now he's down because the blonde one, Peter, nope, not Peter, the other one, whatever, just stabbed him in the back, Donald. Just stabbed him in the back as he's monologuing to Peter.
His victory lap lasted less than a minute. He was so confident, and he didn't even get a full panel of being confident. He got like a fourth of like a window before the third quarter showed him basically letting out his last words. Diana, don't let me die.
Or don't let me down? I'm curious where he was going with this.
Oh, yeah. What was he going to say? Just started with a D. Yeah.
Now he's dead as Donald is standing behind him with a very ornate dagger that he pulled from somewhere.
And very clean, too.
Very clean.
Massive blood splotch. on the back of Diana's father.
So yeah, that one stab to the spine killed Diana's dad. He's down, and Donald says that this whole experience has whetted his appetite for revenge.
Whoa.
Peter, the only smart one in the group, is just like, "Shut the f up, Donald. We got to get out of here. I want nothing to do with any of this. Let's go." At that moment, Allie walks in to see Donald with a dagger in his hand, two dead bodies on the floor. What a scene.
And she doesn't have like some corny thing to say. She's just kind of walks in like a badass, like, "My next on your list, Peter? Like, you want to go?" It's kind of amazing. This issue is nuts.
This issue is
It's
nuts.
nuts.
Page 12.
She says,
I'm just keeping count of this. We're on page 12.
"What kind of madhouse is this? I came here to warn you, and you're out here stabbing people." He's like, and again, Peter basically says, "Hey, yeah, we gotta go."
We
While
just shut the f up. We have to go.
like Donald tries to weave some soliloquy about it, "I suggest that we do not waste any time on self-righteous mummery." But
Shut the f up, Donald. We've got to go.
Peter books it. He pushes both of them out the way and he starts running down the hallway.
You can wait here to die, Allie. I've got other plans.
Yeah.
I do love.
He did
This is.
recognize that the smoking hole in the guy's back was still unexplained, and there was no one
Oh,
else around.
yeah. No one has explained that yet. And I just have to say, like, this is where most comics would have their cliffhanger. We're at the halfway mark.
Yeah, there's more to go.
This is insane.
Peter starts trying to open a door, and he seems to know like what's up, even though nobody else has. He's like, "Oh God, Diana's got us right where she wants us." And Donald turns around. He's like, "Hey, beat." And there's a floating samurai with a sword in his hand, getting ready to come down on him. He's like, "Oh my."
Oh my, it's the video game samurai. And I like Allie just like, "What are you scared about? It's just a hologram."
Does
He
she
goes,
not? Does she not remember what happened in that room? How things were just being,
exploding.
destroyed? Why would you think for even a second that this is going to be something normal?
I don't know, but Peter explains it's a hard light hologram, so it's very real and can very kill them. And the samurai comes down and slices a desk in half.
Clean too. There's not a whole lot of like shrapnel.
Nope. Just slices that desk.
And I like that Allison tries to zap the light, the hard light construction, with more light.
Yep, definitely gonna work. Fight light with
Smart.
light.
Smart.
I do like at this point, Donald goes, "It suddenly occurs to me precisely who she is. Allison Blair, one of those mutant scum. She had exposure in the mass media a few months ago for some aborted movie."
Can you imagine them full sprint having this conversation?
Yeah, as they're sprinting down the hallway.
"That's right. Allison Blair, the Dazzler. I remember." They finally get a chance to rest.
Which I don't know why.
How? How?
I don't know why they're all in this living room with
Yeah,
a record player and a TV, but they didn't stop the samurai. Allie blasted it in the sword and it blocked it, and they just are like, "Oh, we're fine now."
Allison catches up. I guess it's partly her fault because she like just kind of strides in, like, "Oh, hey, you guys are taking a break?"
What makes you think I'm going to help you, you murderers?
Yeah. So before they get much time to do, to say much, like Peter tries to, implore her, "Hey, we got to work together to survive this."
You're gonna die too. Diana wants you dead too. She called you here to die. So, sure.
If
And
we
then
don't work together, we're all finished.
I love the header. Suddenly, the samurai that nobody thought to think about again just turns into the room and blasts Donald in the back with a beam from his sword?
Yeah, Donald's...
Which, sure.
Donald's dead.
So Donald's dead now. Donald's dead. That's body count 3 of the issue. 4 if you count Diana's poor mom. She was an innocent in all of this.
Yeah. This is another one I owe you, Diana. Oh, how you'll pay, Peter thinks to himself. And he basically kind of uses Allison as a shield while he goes to look through more of the house. He shouts, can you handle him? And Allison agrees. No sweat, Peter. She manages to dislodge the sword from the samurai,
yep,
sort of across the room. But
she blasts it so hard that it gets kind of fuzzy.
Yeah.
Starts shorting out a little bit, which, okay, sure, whatever, I guess.
Yeah, blurry like a bad TV reception. Blast must feed had some feedback, I guess one of them says.
Okay, why not? So then they go to the hallway outside of the Diana computer room and remember that there's a giant video camera there, I guess. Which, again, is insane. I've got so many questions about this because is that the only camera in the house? How was Diana directing the samurai and controlling it if she can't see the house? And...
They're probably on like every corner. It's just they're not showing all of them. Maybe.
I don't know.
I feel like there's probably one in every corner. Because remember, there was one that Allison blasted. So they have to be running by at least one other one, right? Because the
one she blasted
is probably broken.
Because this next scene raises a lot of questions about that. Like, okay, so now they just start whispering to each other, which is what the dotted line speech bubble means, which, fine. And Peter says, hey, maybe Diana doesn't know her dad died. Can you make a hologram of him and then walk it in front of the camera so she opens the door for dad and then we can bust in? And she goes, yeah, good idea. That's great idea. So then they spend 2 panels talking about Mr. Simon's physique as she creates a hologram, which feels like a giant waste of space. And she mentions that, you know, it's not gonna, the image isn't too clear. And he goes, well, that blast you gave the samurai definitely shorted out all of the circuits, so it's probably good enough because she can't see clearly through the camera, which, bold assumption, Peter.
Even if she couldn't see clearly, shouldn't she have seen that her dad got stabbed in the back?
That was my question. It's like, if there are other cameras, shouldn't she know that her dad's dead?
Mm-hmm. Like, because, I mean, if she had a samurai that was close enough to make the hole in the other guy, certainly, yeah. Surely it was close. She was close enough to see that go down.
One would think. It's so weird.
So it's like, yeah, that's not actually my dad. And then the next page, I thought she made her dad hit way too big.
I mean, first of all, I should say also, it's a hologram of him chest up only. So he's like this hovering ghost lumbering down the hallway at the size of the hallway.
Yeah, it looks like of like a mural wall of like a dead rapper. Like,
yeah,
Smalls up against the building, but like in the middle of someone's hallway. It's a strange picture, and it gave me a chuckle.
It's so weird
because her dad's heavy set too. So I was seeing it, I was just thinking, oh, thicker than your average, and just Juicy started playing in my head. Not Juicy, Hypnotized. I got my Biggie songs mixed up, but yeah, it's a fun picture.
It is really weird. And then Peter pulls a gun from nowhere and vows to kill Diana for this.
What are we doing next? I'm a killer. And just...
Where did he get this gun?
It's a dark picture.
It is a dark picture.
And Allison whispers back, no, Peter, she's my friend.
Not going to argue. We don't have any options left.
I love whispers that have exclamation marks.
Yeah.
Because they're probably barely whispers.
Oh, yeah. So then Allie floats the hologram in front of the camera and it works. Diana opens the door. And so then Peter just barges in, gun blazing. or not, I guess not blazing. He's not shooting, but he barges in, gun in hand.
Ready to. But he actually tries to like implore her, because the next scene is just straight out of Days of Our Lives or any
so
other daytime
weird.
Soap opera. This was like, oh man, my head is spinning. Are we still reading the same book? Yeah, this is the same story.
Peter, you shouldn't have come here. Diana, my love, please.
Jesus Christ, you can hear
no longer your lover.
The dramatic
have taken care of that.
Dramatic organ music. Dramatic organ music.
Bum bum. All I have for you is hate. You're a faithless, treacherous liar. All I want is to see you meet your death. Again, I want to be very clear on something. We have no idea what he actually has done.
There is so much missing. There was so much context, and they threw us into the middle of this incredibly dramatic scene of lovers who are just, it's like starting the, I mean, no, it's not quite like that, because that's actually good. I was going to say it's like starting at the end of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but it's so wild.
It's so weird. So now Peter draws his gun, aims at her. Sorry it had to end this way, Diana. I'm sorry. And that's when Allie decides to come into the room and shoot the gun. So,
Allie, you f***ing idiot. Now we're both dead. What are you doing?
I can't believe what I just heard. You and Diana were lovers, and you're ready to kill her without thinking twice? Stop saying lover, everyone. Let's all stop saying lover.
Gross. Stop it. It's also Allison, also overly dramatic, because yes, he had second thoughts. He tried to persuade her to stop. He did think twice.
He did.
He flat out, he did more than think twice. He acted. It's like, no, Allison, you're not using that saying correctly.
You don't understand.
This is the next one where someone should have thrown their head back and thrown their hand over their head, over their forehead. You don't understand. But this time it would be Peter. In both cases, it would be men, which would be hilarious.
It would be so good.
And they missed an opportunity.
We need to make this into a real dramatic play. You don't understand. She's not Diana anymore. She's a cold, heartless machine. And now the video game samurai enters.
Yeah.
Which is just quite a sentence as I say it out loud.
Diana, no! And before we know what's happened, the very next page, almost like two-thirds of it, we see the samurai slashing into the machine. He's gone right by us? Dazzler is in shock. And Diane speaks.
So many questions.
Diane speaks, like, from her body. She almost sits upright and speaks.
Allie, my dear friend, you don't have to fear me anymore. I don't know if you understood my plan. I only half formulated it myself. No shit. This was not a real plan.
No. Get the fuck out of here. No, you don't get to backtrack now. No, stop it.
You see, I had to keep it from the computer. Make it think I was luring you to your deaths so I could end my own life. Thank you, Allie. Seeing you again. Seeing you still cared enough to save my life has given me the strength to do this. She says as the samurai beats the computer.
Oh, it's such a tragic sacrifice. I kind of wish that they were, I guess, approached Diane's look differently, because she looks like she's 65, 70.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like, you know, you don't turn old when you're when you've haven't eaten or you're starving. You don't look older, you just look frailer. But that's neither here nor there. Well, wait, if Diane's just destroying the machine, well, why did I say heroic sacrifice? Well, because the house starts crumbling around them.
Well, before the house starts crumbling, not to cut you off, but we did skip my favorite sentence of the issue, of Diana saying, when the samurai succeeds in destroying the computer, I will perish with it. Which is just a phenomenal sentence.
Yeah.
And okay, that's just screams. It hurts. It hurts so much. Okay, sure. And yeah, now the house starts grumbling.
She tells them as they're fleeing, "My death throes are tearing the house apart. So,
How?
why? Why? How?
How?
I mean, it wasn't just detaching from this thing an option and going and, living out the rest of your days in hospice, something nice and peaceful, or
Or just
even,
detaching and dying if it's really that bad.
or better yet, finding someone with, some kind of remedy because comic books. But no, her death throes are tearing the house apart because
This was my
this."
plan the whole time, to lure you here and then kill three people and then die.
Yeah, apparently this video game is built into the entire construction of the home, which again, this is a hell of a product, Sega. I mean, if you would put this out instead of the Dreamcast, maybe you'd still be making some consoles.
May
Like,
very possible.
but like full up apartments by Sega, homes by Sega,
Oh, I want that.
condos by Sega. But no, you had to get mixed up with Revenge Inc. And, now you're just doing the games, which is fine. But
Which is fine.
think about how much differently things could have been, Sega, if you put this out instead of the Dreamcast.
Would have been a better world.
We can only wonder. So Peter and Allison are booking it down the hallway.
Then Allie just they Peter says the front door is gonna be locked, and Allie says, "So what? Who needs a door?" And just blasts a hole in the wall.
I love Allison in this issue. Walking into a room where people, well, walking into a video game and not playing it, like sitting down and just like deciding not to play it. Like she didn't even
Yes.
attempt, just sitting down and be like, yeah, I'm not playing. Walking in on a murder and then just being like, oh, what? Am I next? What kind of a place is this? Well, come at me. And then now running down the hallway, just like, oh, we got to get out of here. Peter, shut up. And then just blowing a hole in the wall. Here, we're safe now. This is great. I love this, Allison.
And I just like Peter going like, "You could have gotten out of here the whole time." And she's just like, "Well, yeah, but I wanted to see what was going on with my friend."
Yeah, I'm a
Oh.
bad,
The
not
point
do what I
wasn't to
want,
get
Peter.
out.
Bad, not do what I want, Peter. Hell yeah. I like this, Allison.
My purpose was never to get out. It was to figure out what the hell was going on.
She full on pulled what's his name, Rorschach on him.
Pretty much.
You're all trapped in here with me. And the
And
house
so.
ex the house explodes, and we get a nice pic of picture of Allison's cleavage.
Yeah, we do. And the
Yes.
house really just explodes at this point.
It looks like it's really just mostly the windows and stuff. 'Cause like the rest of the structure seems like it's okay.
I don't know, the front porch just columns are blowing
Oh,
off.
yeah, those columns have seen better days for sure. But yeah, it's house
It's really hard to
explodes.
tell how much is going to be left standing.
And I guess I like the little, there's a little subtle touch here that I missed the first time around, but Allison gets hit in the back of the head with a rock.
Yeah.
Because the first time I was reading this, I was like, wait, why is she on the ground unconscious?
Yeah, no,
It just
there's a
ran out.
rock that just subtly taps her, it just boops her on the back of the head.
And soon, it's like, wait, how long has she been laying down after that house exploded?
I soon amount of time. Soon.
Yeah,
So
apparently Peter gets up a little woozy too, because he was down at some point as well
yeah.
after the house exploded.
Which sure, I guess. And yeah, he gets up and looks at Allie still unconscious and basically just said, "Well, I should kill her, but I'm gonna leave." And then just walks away.
That's how the issue ends
And that's it.
with Allison lying there unconscious. This could have had such a dark ending where he walks over and just wraps his hands around Allison's neck, and then it just end.
And I just like the lesson that Peter learned. Oh, to blazes with it. I've had enough of this death dealing, enough of Revenge Inc. It's time I paid attention to life instead. And he just like walks away a better man.
Yeah, so what's next for Peter?
Who knows
I
what was
wonder.
before for Peter? Where are the dogs?
Are those dogs?
They were Peter's dogs too. They weren't like, I'm so confused by so many things in this issue.
Yeah, what happened to the pooches? Just
And that's it.
left to roam feral? I don't know.
That's it. We just end on Peter walking away, thinking about how he's going to enjoy life now, as Allie is unconscious in the foreground.
No idea what happens to Allison until we get to the next issue.
Not a clue.
She's just lying there.
And the next issue doesn't explain it. It might as well be a completely new series.
Yep.
But the next issue is actually good now.
Yeah, the next issue is a whole lot of fun. Issue 38 in Dazzler versus the X-Men.
Yep, we get a new logo, we get a new costume, we get a new writer. Everything's new, everything's better. This issue was madness. And the next issue, we get direction, we get an overarching plot. It becomes like a real comic book series.
Yeah, this is my favorite look for Dazzler.
I do like this look. It's
This is
the late 80s blue bodysuit, short hair, headband.
this is the version of Dazzler I had a little crush on as an 8-year-old playing the X-Men video
I was going to
game
say
with Konami.
it's the Konami arcade costume.
All she's missing is the little like leather vest that
Yeah.
she would have on that. But yeah, it's such a cool look. She looks awesome. I mean, she's gorgeous as ever, but yeah, it's a cool design.
But it finally starts feeling like a real comic again, and it hasn't for a while. Like, and not just a real comic. This is the first time in the whole Dazzler series I feel that it actually feels like a superhero comic.
Yeah, it does make that transition, this one and the next one, because I
Like, I
think.
had a lot of fun with the Fingeroth era. It's really fun to read and it's fun to talk about, but it is a romance comic with some superheroes in it.
Yeah, it's a goofy, fun time. But now
This
it's
becomes a
actually,
superhero comic.
yeah, the whole series up to this point was maybe like the prologue to a hero's journey. And then now we actually get a little bit of one with Dazzler, but it doesn't last very long.
Yep. Yeah, so tune in next week when this series actually gets like objectively good.
Yeah, you've been listening to the Almost an X-Men podcast. Thanks
Yeah.
for listening. If you feel so inclined, go ahead and leave a review at wherever you get this podcast, whether it be your Apple Music, your Spotify, or if you don't feel like it, that's fine. Thanks anyway for listening.
But yeah, reviews help us. Like, it means that, more people might find us, and that's always a good thing. I mean, for us, I guess. I don't know. Is it? Who cares? But leave a review. It's fun. It's nice of you to do.
And if you have any questions or anything that you want to have read on this podcast, you can find us at the usual dazzlerpodcast@gmail.com or at the Instagram account.
Yep, Instagram is at Dazzler Podcast. You can always find us there, posting some fun panels. Just today, I posted Allie getting taken out by a chloroform hat. So that's there waiting for you.
The grimy, the no, the grime covered chloroform.
Grime, what was the wording? Because I actually did. The grime spattered hat renders you unconscious.
Grime spattered chloroform soaked.
Oh yeah. So
Disgusting hat.
if you want to see some tatter medallion, head over to the podcast now. But actually, as you're listening to this, you'll now be seeing Computer Lady. It's all there though. It's fun. We're having a good time. Hope you're having a good time listening. And RJ, anything else?
Nope, thanks again.
Thanks again, and until next week, go for it.